to kill a third of the people. In the 18th and 19th centuries, they did not have the vision that Hitler would have, that it's possible to kill everybody. The Russian government was satisfied with a third. And when they said one-third assimilation, they meant a third conversion to the Roman to the Russian Orthodox Church. And one-third emigration, the others would move, would be forced to move. The catalyst for this type of behavior by the Russian government was, as I mentioned, the behavior of the Jews themselves. And the Misnagdim used their opposition to Hasidus to inform the Russian government against leading Hasidic figures and personalities. The Russian government intervened in the elections for the leadership roles in the Kehillah of Vilna itself. And the Russian government, with its typical ironic, cruel, smirking attitude, installed Hasidim to be the heads of the Kehillah in Vilna for a period of time. And then when the whim changed, they had them arrested and thrown away and thrown out. What was the basis of any informing against another Jew? It was a very simple law, a law that still exists today in Russia. The law is that a Russian is not allowed to donate or distribute or raise money on behalf of a foreign government, which on the surface sounds like a very innocuous and fair and good law. But in practice, it made almost all Jews criminals, because the Jews had always collected money to send to the land of Israel to support the small Jewish population in that country. And when the brother-in-law of the Besht, Rabbi Gershon Kitover, went to Eretz Yisrael and was followed by many other Hasidic luminaries, so naturally, how were they going to live in Palestine? There was no economy. There was no way to make a living. And they were there under the terrible, tyrannical, corrupt rule of the Turks and the Arabs. So to live in the country, you needed money. You had to pay off. It was bakshish. You had to pay off. You had to pay the government. You had to pay the policemen. You had to pay everybody. And since these people were poor, economically stricken themselves, there was no way that they could pay off anybody. So an organization sooner or later developed that collected money and somehow got the money over to Eretz Yisrael. That money was illegal money. It was collected illegally in Russia. It was collected on behalf of the Turkish government. It was going to end up in the hands of Turkey. Turkey and Russia were and are blood enemies. In the 1800s, they would fight a number of wars. And therefore, any Jew and any Jewish rabbi certainly was liable to arrest by the Russian government. They didn't have to invent any charges. He was liable to arrest because of the fact that he participated in a scheme to collect money in Russia for shipment to a foreign country. That was one of the charges, that was the main charge that the first Lubavitcher Rebbe was arrested. And that charge became the basic charge throughout this machlokas. And since both sides were equally guilty, so you had a terrible situation, it's an unspeakable situation, where Jews bribed the Russian government to arrest other Jews. And then the Russian government would turn around at its whim again You know, you can't play with the bear.